So it's good to be here again to speak of the glory of God.
Ina farin cikin sake kasancewa tare da ku mu yi magana cikin maganar Allah.
To speak of the glory of God is the greatest thing that man can do.
Magana akan daukakan Allah shine babban abin da mutum zai iya yi.
For that is what we were created for, to praise the living God.
Domin ko dalilin da yasa aka halice mu kenan mu daukaki Ubangiji.
And the more we understand who that God is through how he has been revealed through his word, the greater ability we have to praise him, to praise him in spirit and in truth. The last two nights I've been talking about the meaning of John 3:16.
A cikin dare biyu da suka wuce ina magana ne akan ma'anan Yahaya sura 3 aya 16.
By putting it into the context that Christ gave it to us.
Na sa shi a yadda Yesu ya bamu wannan ayar.
The context is him speaking to Nicodemus.
A yadda Yesu yana magana da Nicodemus.
And he's telling Nicodemus, who's a ruler, a Pharisee in Israel. That he doesn't know basic things about God. He doesn't know you must be born again. Only if you're born of the Spirit can you see the kingdom of God. And that the way you're born of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit works. That the Holy Spirit is like the wind blowing where it wills. We cannot control the wind and we cannot control the Holy Spirit. And that is how everyone is who is born of the Spirit. It is because the Spirit chose to save them. Because they were elect from before the foundation of the earth. And then he goes on and he speaks to Nicodemus and say, why don't you know these things? God said that every Christian is to be a prophet. Every Christian is to be able to declare who God is. And he says, look at the world. The world testifies that you must be born again. That's why there's birth in the first place. And in that context, he comes to John
3:16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. One of the ways this verse is taken is to twist the word world. The world means the world.
Dunia ko na ma'anar dunia.
It does not mean people.
Ba ta ma'anar mutane.
We are part of the world. We are not the world.
Muna ɗaya daga cikin waɗanda suke a duniya amma mu ba na duniya bane.
And most people take John 3:16 and make it because God so loved people.
Mutane da yawa sun suka dauke haya sura 3 aya 16 nan suka ce gama Allah ya kaunaci mutane.
That he sent his only begotten Son.
Sai ko ya tura ɗansa kaɗaice.
That's not what he's saying.
Ba abin da yake faɗa kenan ba.
The word there is cosmos.
Abin da ke a wurin ko na ma'anar ƙasar duniya.
A Greek word that means the created order. To understand what he's saying here, you have to go back to Genesis 1:21. It's at the end of creation.
Genesis 1:31.
After the sixth day.
Yep. Sorry.
Oops, that's two. Why don't you just translate?
Sorry.
Then God saw everything that he had made.
Say Allah, I got dit abun de halita.
And indeed, it was very good. God loved the way that he created the world. He loved the way that there was no death. He loved the way that there was no sin. He loved the way that there was no stealing, no murder, no adultery. He loved the way he made creation. Because it all testified of him. He loved the way that he made man and woman. Because they were made in the image of God. He looked at the stars and the moon and the sun. And he said, "This is lovely." And then man sinned. And this thing that was lovely became filled with death. What reflected the kindness and goodness of God now reflected the evil of Satan. That perfect image that he made of himself and man and woman became twisted and was no longer the perfect image of God. That's what it means that God so loved the world. The first Adam came and ruined it. So he sent the second Adam to fix it. He sent the second Adam to fix the world. Not just to fix men. The first Adam sinned and brought death and destruction into the world. The second Adam came to bring life. He came to bring life back into a dead world. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. He sent him to restore the world. Romans 8. Starting in verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Understand what Paul is saying. He's saying all of creation is waiting to see those who will be saved. Because the last one who will be saved, the last Son of God that will be revealed, Jesus Christ will come back and restore creation.
Yes, the comes
verse 20. For the creation was subject to futility.
8 verse 20.
Creation was subject to futility. Its purpose was to glorify God. And since God put Adam in charge of the world, when Adam sinned, it changed everything. Where the world, where creation had a purpose, it's now become futile. But not without hope. Because of him who subjected it in hope. God said, if you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge and good of good and evil, then death will reign in the world. But God didn't have death reign in the world for no purpose. In 8:28 it says God does everything good. The restoration of creation will be greater than the creation at first. Creation understands this. When Jesus Christ said, if you don't glorify me, the rocks will cry out. Christ had subjected it to futility. Where it had a significant purpose, its purpose was to glorify God. God had twisted it through the Adam's sin so that he could subject it in hope. The hope of Christ. God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Verse 21. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. God caused sin to reign in the world so that he could glorify himself even more by showing how he can restore all of creation through the death of his Son. Revelation 21:1.
Race. Let's see.
Revelation 21:1. This is John speaking. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. When Jesus Christ comes back, he restores this world.
Idan Yesu ya dawo ko zai gyara duniyar.
He restores the world so it's even better than it was at the time of creation. When Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray, he taught them, "Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven." That was a prayer of a righteous man. That's been the prayer of the church for generations. There have been many fervent, effective prayers of that prayer. Jesus Christ is teaching here, God answers my prayers. He answers the prayers of righteous men. Those that are in his name, aligned with his will. And he says, pray that God's will be done on earth. In one way, God's will is always done. Because it says in Daniel 4, who can resist his will? No one can resist the will of God. But he doesn't just say that God's will be done. He says it be done the same on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, people don't sin. In heaven, there is no death. This prayer is the prayer of saints of every generation. I guarantee God is going to fulfill this prayer that Jesus Christ said to pray. He's not just come to save some people. He came to restore creation. Restore creation to the point that no one will ever sin again. This promise will be fulfilled. God's will be done on earth. We tend to make God, Christ coming too small. We make it about man. And man is an important part of God's creation. But in Jonah, he says he loves the cattle too. It's not just about man. We need to make sure we get over our pride. God didn't send Jesus Christ just for man. He sent Jesus Christ because he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
First Corinthians 15.
Starting in verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead.
Haka kuma tashin matattu a wurin mutum yake.
For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive.
Kamar yadda duk ake mutuwa saboda Adamu, haka duk za a rayar da kowa saboda Almasihu.
Animals die now.
Dabbobi na mutuwa a yanzu.
They die because of Adam's sin.
Suna mutuwa saboda zunubin Adamu.
And they'll live forever because of Christ's righteousness. Everything died because of Adam. And everything will be made new and alive through Christ. But then Paul goes on and says in verse
23,
but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ that is coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom of God, the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power.
Zai mayar wa Allah uba mulki bayan ya shafe dukkan sarauta da mulki da iko.
You don't need authority, you don't need power if there's sin, unless there's sin.
Baka neman dama, baka neman iko inda akwai zunubi.
Because he put authorities, he put civil governments in, he put elders and churches in because of sin.
Ya sa ko shugabannai that the tawa a ecclesiae, the gomnati, the komei, some of the zunubi.
The law was given because of iniquities.
Ita doka ko amba da tere some of the zunubi.
When corruption is put away,
idanko aka cire cin hanci da rashwa.
When sin is put away,
idanko an cire zunubi.
Those things aren't needed anymore.
When
God the Father and Christ are our sun and moon, so we all walk by the light of God. All authority, all power would be put away. When God recreates the world, he judged the world once by water and Noah's flood. And after Noah's flood, the world was remade. The oceans exist because of Noah's flood. Because the ground broke up and the water came out. And he promised he will never judge the world with water again. But he will judge it with fire. And the picture of being judged with fire is he's going to remove everything that offends. He will purge it. He won't make it disappear. In heaven and earth will become one. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Don't make Christ's sacrifice small. And we can make it small by just thinking it's about this age. He says that whosoever shall believe in him shall have everlasting life. The reason we suffer in this life is for everlasting life. It's for when Christ will recreate the world. That creation that was in bondage and groaning will be set free through Christ. And people will have everlasting life. It's so easy to make the profession of Christ about this life. About being part of a community, being part of a church. But Paul says, if that's what you do, you're the most pitiable of men. First Corinthians 15, verse 32. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus.
32.
What advantage is it to me if the dead do not rise? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If it's not about the recreation of the world, then it doesn't matter what you do. You might as well eat what you want, drink what you want, abuse people. It doesn't matter. But Jesus Christ was sent to recreate the world. And there will be those that have a part in that world. And there will be those that are cast into eternal damnation. I'm not here because I want to eat and drink. No offense to your food, but I like American food better. I like my roads, I like my air conditioning better than in Nigeria. But I'm here because of your eternal life. Because I want you to have eternal life. That's why Paul was in Ephesus. Because he wanted people to have eternal life. In Ephesus, he was witnessing to the Jews who were positive they were saved. They were positive that they were right with God because they were children of God. And Paul goes and wrestles with them and is almost killed by them. And he says, why do I do this? Because there is eternal life. Make your calling and election sure. Make your calling and election sure. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Because God is going to cast out all who offend. And if you make God small, if you make God just about saving some people, instead of saving all of creation, be fearful that you don't believe in the true God. Because God is going to reverse all sin. All rebellion against Him will cease. And His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 17. John 3.
Okay.
Yahaya sura 3 aya 19.
For
you said 17 or 19?
17.
Okay, aya 17.
We still have ways to go.
For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. But that the world through him might be saved. He's perfectly clear about what he's saying. He's saying he came to save the world. Not just men are condemned. His condemnation through Adam's sin affects everything. And he sent his only begotten son. Because he loved the world, he loved his created order. And he wanted to restore it to something even better than what it was when he said, it is very good. Death surrounds us. Pain, suffering surrounds us. And Christ came to wipe all that away. And not just after he returns. Even before he returns, that's the effect of the church in the world. It says in Psalm 110, Jesus Christ must reign until he puts all his enemies under his footstool.
Yes, Almasihu zai yi mulki sai ya maida abokan gabansa a karkashin tafinsa.
Everything that rebels is against is an enemy of God.
Dukkan abin da ya saya da Allah abokin gaban Allah ne.
All of it is rebellion and an enemy of God.
Dukkan su kuwa sayaya ne da Allah abokan gaban Allah ne.
But the church comes in and starts this leavening effect through the world. So sin gets constrained. You think sin is bad in Plateau State now. Without reading any history, I can still guarantee without a doubt it was worse here before the gospel came. Because even with all the sin here, the shining forth of the light of the gospel always causes darkness to flee. It always makes things better. It's the promise that the increase of his government will have no end. And the increase of his peace will have no end. Isaiah 65. Starting in verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people as a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her. Nor the voice of crying. That sounds like when heaven and earth are made one. But it's not. It's not. Verse 20. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days. Nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die. For the child shall die 100 years old.
Thank you.
But the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. When Jesus Christ comes in the second coming, when he removes all corruption, when he casts into hell all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, what no longer exists after that point? No, what no longer exists after that point? Death.
Mutua.
Because he comes to defeat the last enemy, which is death. So when it says a child will die at 100, it's not talking about after the second coming of Christ. It's talking about the effect of the church in the world before then. Just to prove the point again. It says a sinner being 100 years old will be accursed. What else won't be there when corruption puts on incorruption? There will be no sinners. There will be no sinners when heaven and earth is made one. After the bride of Christ descends from heaven like a city. The New Jerusalem. There will be no sin. Don't make the sacrifice of Jesus Christ small. The leaven is spreading through the world. The leaven that he said was the kingdom of God. That would be hid in 3 measures of meal. And would spread through the whole meal. 100 years ago, it spread to Plateau State. But it still has a lot of work to do here. But do not be hopeless. Because there's promises that God's gospel will cure the world. His enemies will be defeated. Trust in the church and Jesus Christ. Because she will be successful. Because she has the power of God in the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, before he ascended, said, I will give you power. And that power will conquer all the enemies of Jesus Christ. Except for death. And then Jesus Christ will return. 1 Corinthians 15:32. Oh, sorry, that was the wrong verse. 45. No. Nope. I've lost the verse. Okay. I was going to read the verse that said that the last enemy defeated is death.
Now, so in current eye, that it's a
but I don't want to take the time to look at it, but I guarantee it's in 1 Corinthians
15.
And understand what God does when He comes. Matthew 13, starting in verse 37. He had told his disciples a parable about how God had caused the gospel to go in the world. It was like seeds being scattered. And then tares came up, weeds came up among the wheat. And he explains to his disciples what this means. Starting in verse 37. He answered and said to him, to them.
13:37.
Matthew 13:37. He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The one who went out and spread the seed of the gospel was the Son of Man. The testimony of the gospel was there from the beginning in creation. The things that I've been talking about, father and son, husband and wife, Adam and Eve was there before the fall. He put a testimony, the gospel, from the beginning. But then something happened. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one.
Verse 38.
Verse 39. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. The farmer says, don't pull the tares. We'll take them in, we'll harvest them, and we'll separate them at the time of harvest. We'll separate the tare from the wheat. And then he will take out the useless stuff, the stuff that doesn't glorify him. In verse 40, therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all things that offend. Other things offend God, not just men. And all that will be destroyed. And men will be destroyed too. Not destroyed like they will disappear and be no more. But destroyed in the sense that they will be cast into the lake of fire. They will have worms eat them for eternity. They will be burned with fire for eternity. They will be in utter darkness, so they can't even see anything and know where the fire or the worms are coming from. And they will scream in pain for eternity. And they won't even hear their own scream. That's what God does to those who practice lawlessness. Check your soul where you are with God. It's about eternal life, not the life on this earth. God sent His only begotten Son because the world was condemned, and that through Him the world could be saved. John 3, verse 18.
Johannes 3, verse 18.
He who believes in Him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. The Spirit blows where it wills. God shows mercy to whom He will show mercy. This is the greatest testimony of His glory. That God will show mercy to whom He will show mercy. That it is by God's will that you are saved, not your own. It is not he who wills or he who runs, but God who shows mercy. You're already condemned because of your sin to eternal hell. But if you believe in Him, if you look to the cross of Christ, you can be saved. But all will be condemned who do not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. For there is no other name under heaven by which one can be saved. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light. Do you love darkness more than light? Do you want to hide what you do? Do you want nobody to find out your sin? Jesus Christ came to the Jews. And they all saw their sinfulness by seeing Christ. So they despised Him. Have you seen Christ? If you've seen Christ, you see your own sin. And you can do two things with that. He's not physically here, so you can't kill Him. But you can twist Him. You can make Him different than the God I'm describing. You can make Him a God that's just begging people to come to Him. Or you can see Him as the God that does what He wants. The God who didn't just come to save men, but came to save the whole world. Are you like the Jews? Are you like the apostles? The Jews hated Christ. All the Jews except this very small remnant hated Christ. Because men love darkness rather than light. Do you love darkness? Do you want your sin to be hidden? If you love darkness, if you want to hide your sin, be afraid that you don't love the light. Because the light is Jesus Christ. The Jews were sure they were saved. They were sure that they were the sons of God. But they loved darkness, not light. They loved darkness, not light. Do you want to know who Christ is? Do you read his word where he is revealed? Or do you love darkness? Do you not want your evil deeds to be exposed? Verse
20.
For everyone practicing evil hates the light. Don't deceive yourself. Please, don't deceive yourself. If you love to practice evil, you hate the light. And God is light. There is no darkness in him. God ordered the world so that we can understand that he is light. How he exposes all things. When Jesus Christ came to the Jews, they all saw their sin. So they wanted to kill him. If he was here, if he was standing in our presence, when he was demonstrating the holiness of God, causing the lame to walk, causing the blind to see, having people rise up in hatred against them, and in responding in love rather than hatred, would you want to kill him? And don't lie to yourself. If he looked at you and spoke of all your sins, would you want to kill him? Matthew 23, 29 through 31. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Because you build the tombs of the prophets and you adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves. That you are the sons of those who murdered the prophet. What Jesus Christ is saying is he's talking to these men who say they love Elijah. They love Elisha. Daniel, Isaiah,
Daniel the Isaiah.
These people who the fake believers despised. Zechariah, who they killed.
And
they're saying, oh, we respect Zechariah. And Jesus Christ is saying, no, if he was here, you would have murdered him. Because you're the sons of the man who murdered him. Are you the sons of the people who murdered Christ? If he was standing here revealing all your sin, would you love him for it or would you hate him for it? Christians want the light. The sons of Satan want the darkness. Everyone practicing evil hates the light. John 3.
Say it again.
For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deed should be exposed. Do you want to be cleansed of your sin? Or do you want to say, I'm going to keep my sin, but I also love Christ? Those who say, I want to keep my sin, but I love Christ. Their fathers are the one who killed Christ. Do you love the light? Because Jesus Christ came and he changes people so they love the light.
Yes, Almasiu ya zo domin ya canza mutane saboda su kauna haske.
It's what it means to be born again.
Wannan ita ce ma'anar sake sabon haihuwa.
A description of it is in verse 21.
Akwai abin da nake so in karanta aya ta 21.
John 3 verse 21.
Yohaya sura 3 aya 21.
But he who does the truth comes to the light. Those who have the truth come to the light. Those who have the spirit of truth, which in John 17 was how he names the Holy Spirit. If you have the Spirit of Christ, who was the truth, the way, and the life, you do truth. One of the most basic aspects of being a Christian is God says about them, they do not lie. My children do not lie. This doesn't mean that we never slip up and sin. But it does mean that nobody could call us a liar. Because Christ's children walk in truth. There's those who hate the light. And there's those who do the truth. And they love the light. Jesus Christ is making a sharp distinction here.
Yes, yana bambanta zantattuka anan.
He looks at you and knows that you either love the light or you love darkness. Figure out how Christ looks at you. Are you a lover of light or are you a lover, are you a lover of darkness or are you a lover of the truth? The people that love the truth come to the light. so that their deeds can be clearly seen. Do you want people to clearly see your deeds? Do you want people to see what your life is like? Not the facade that you put on when you go into church on Sunday morning, where you look so holy and you treat people with such respect. But the deeds that happen when you live your life, do you want them to be seen? Do you want the accountability of your deeds being seen? Do you love the light or do you love darkness? Those who desire holiness love light. Even when it can be extremely embarrassing, they love light because it purges them of sin. So they aren't part of what is purged in the last day. When all of creation is judged with fire. And God casts into hell everything that offends. And those who practice lawlessness, one sign of walking in light, letting your deeds be clearly seen, is people will hate you for it. God says, all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But that's how we increase the light in the world. That's how we fulfill the duty of the church. To be the leaven that causes righteousness to expand in the world. And notice what this says. It is not just those who know the truth. It is those who do the truth. The Pharisees knew the truth. That's why Jesus Christ said, do what they say. But they didn't do the truth. Which is why he said, woe to the hypocrites. For you are the ones who killed the prophets. Knowing the truth is not enough. Those who have been born again. Those who have been born by water and spirit. They do the truth. Because they have the spirit of truth. Because they have Christ. And Christ is truth. Is this a description of your life? Doing the truth. For that is what Christians are created to do. And that's how we fulfill Matthew 5:16. Matthew 5:16. Those who walk in the light fulfill these. No, I didn't start to read it yet. I was letting you find. Those who walk in the light fulfill this verse. Because they desire their deeds to be seen. Not for their glory. But for the glory of God. which is the purpose of all creation. And it is the purpose of everyone that hears my voice. Everyone will fulfill his purpose. And their purpose is to glorify God. They will either glorify him by testifying to his justice, because he will be glorified by casting them into hell, where there will be no hope. No hope that the pain and torment will ever end. Or they will walk in the light so their deeds can be seen by men. And Matthew 5:16 can be fulfilled. Let your light so shine before men. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The people who do the truth, they love the light. They want their deeds to be seen by men. So those men will glorify their Father in heaven. Is that a description of your life? Is that a description of your life? Or do you love darkness? If you love darkness, there is only one hope. Flee to the light. Seek Christ. That's the only hope. I'm going to take some time here to let people consider this message. Lying to yourself can become a habit. The people who lie to others lie to themselves even more. They start to believe their own lies. Paul said to Timothy that wicked men wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Don't deceive yourself tonight. Look at your heart. Look at your life. Look at the things you do. Are you a child of truth? Are you a child of the light? Are you a child of darkness? Let's take some time to examine our hearts. And then I'll pray. O Lord God, I pray that you let anyone here who is deceiving themselves, who thinks they're yours because of the family that they're in, or the church that they're in, open their eyes, Lord. Let no one here be deceived of where they stand towards you. Let them see the face of Jesus Christ. Let them see your holiness. And let them see whether they desire their evil deeds and good deeds to be made known. Or whether they love darkness. We all make an excuse as to who you are. To excuse our sin. Give them a vision of how holy you are. Give me a greater vision of how holy you are. So we can turn from our sin and walk in the light so that your name will be glorified, so that the church will be the light to this community, and the world will change as you promised. We know faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. We pray that the word that went forth tonight, that in your sovereign will, that you decide for the wind to blow, for the Holy Spirit to change people, and your church to be glorified.
So grow.
Not grow in numbers, but grow in holiness. Because that's what Miango needs. That's what Plateau State needs. That's what Nigeria needs. That's what the world needs. For the church to be shining forth the light of your righteousness. So that people see its good work. And glorify the Father who is in heaven. Blessed be your name, O Lord. We thank you that you so love the world. That you gave your only begotten Son, so that whosoever believed in you shall have everlasting life. For we have no hope except by you. May your Spirit move among us. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.